Chapter 11, The First Murder. As Jonathan was leaving the worship hall, he made his way to Crystal River Park. The park was hundreds and hundreds of miles long, and it followed the River of Life through the entire kingdom. On one side of the park was the river, and on the other side was the city's main street. In some places, the park was only a few hundred feet wide, while in other places, it was over 20 miles wide. The park weaved back and forth, always following the river's edge. Sometimes the park was flat for many, many miles, and then suddenly it would rise up higher and higher as it followed the terrain of the hills and mountains of the kingdom. The views were always breathtaking, especially when one was high up on a hill or mountainside watching the river and park weave through the valleys below. As he walked through the park, he came to the place where the mighty trees grow. There were hundreds and hundreds of huge trees rising up 700, 800, 900 feet in the air, and their branches spread out like a canopy. Hundreds of people could be found sitting under just one of these giant trees, where they soaked in the beauty of their environment and enjoyed the sweet fellowship of each other's company. Jonathan's excitement grew as he walked past crowds of people that had gathered for fellowship. Some of them had lived in ancient times. Others had lived during Christ's earthly ministry, while others lived in Jonathan's generation, and still others lived right up to the day of the coming of the Lord. All types of people were gathering for fellowship, with no language barriers, cultures, or class differences. The earthly pauper spoke to the earthly king or prince as if he were speaking to his own brother. Earthly slaves enjoined and embraced earthly masters, and they all treasured each other's fellowship. Jonathan saw daily how God completely removed the pride of man and destroyed that barrier, the dividing wall of hostility that kept people apart. All the inhabitants of heaven were fellow citizens of God's household, which was built on the foundation and teaching of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. Jonathan oftentimes stopped and talked with the people he met on the way. He did this with freedom and confidence, for they were all one in Christ Jesus. He was never disappointed by a single meeting, but was always blessed by the words, deeds, and actions of others. Sometimes he would run into few people. Other times it would be with hundreds and even thousands of people who had gathered for fellowship, celebrations, worship, and a host of other reasons which had brought them all together. He would enter into worship with them, talk with them, and oftentimes just enjoy getting to know more and more about them. He had no fear of parting company, for the door of fellowship was always open in God's kingdom, and his people continually walked through it. As Jonathan was walking, he saw two familiar faces in front of him from his past. They reached each other and embraced. Warm, loving smiles lighted each of their faces. He stood before an old elder and his wife, who had been part of his church in the old world, but they had moved away when Jonathan was just a babe in Christ. Bob and Dot, I knew I would run into you both sooner or later. It's so great to see you two. I miss you guys so much in the old world, when you moved back to New Jersey for retirement. Bob said, Jonathan, it is truly wonderful to see your face, and I also missed you an awful lot. Consider this. Now we can visit and have that sweet fellowship that never can be broken by distance again, spoiled by sin, or destroyed by the works of the evil one. You know what? I really want you to know how God used both of you in my life when I first got saved. You have both spoken many times in my life with your gentleness and your servant-heartedness. I really missed you deeply when you moved away. I always wanted to visit you more than just that one time, but as you both know, distance was a real issue. Distance is no longer an issue now that we have these new bodies. Dot said with a laugh. I can be anywhere. He calls me in moments. So, where in the kingdom do you two live? Jonathan asked. The most eastern side of the Celestial Sea, near Peter's Pier. My whole family lives on Level Path Road, Bob said. Jonathan smiled and said, not to change the subject, but do you remember men's breakfast? Yes, I do. Every Saturday morning we had breakfast at my house, and then we went through the Book of Proverbs after we ate. It was such a blessing to host, and I had many, many fond memories of everyone who attended, Bob said. Dot smiled brightly and said, our Lord has made everything perfect in its time, and our fellowship is sweeter than we could have ever imagined. I loved you and your wife very deeply from the heart. Jonathan, I remember those days well, as if they were yesterday. It's always wonderful to see young Christians grabbing a hold of the means of grace that God has given them. It's wonderful to see a life that is being transformed into his likeness with that ever-increasing glory, which only comes from our Lord, who is the Spirit, Bob added. They visited for a while and finally parted company. They all knew they would see each other regularly, for they had all of eternity to grow in their relationship with one another. The Lord himself was in the business of growing his people in love and works of service. As Jonathan was walking, the great shepherd appeared at his side and began walking with him. As they walked, the shepherd turned and smiled, saying, I have a few people I would like you to meet, for they will be a great blessing to you. They will speak to you about hidden things and accomplish my purposes in your life. My desire is to have you grow more and more in your love for me and all the saints of the kingdom. At once, Jonathan's heart soared. He wondered who these people might be and how these meetings were going to affect his heavenly life. As they walked together, a man dressed in a white robe with long brown hair and a large beard was sitting on one of the white benches beside the river. As the shepherd approached, the man stood up and walked forward. Jonathan noticed that the man bowed down with great joy before the Lord and rose with a loving smile upon his face. His eyes seemed to shine forth with the radiance to embark on a great mission in service for the king. Jonathan, this is my beloved friend Abel. He was the first martyr for the kingdom. Jonathan's mouth dropped. He was amazed. And he was already beginning to piece together the stories he heard so many times before in the old world. You have heard his story throughout the ages, but now the first sacrifice of love stands before you. The shepherd turned to Abel and said, tell Jonathan your story. Abel looked at Jonathan, and with great passion he began by saying, the Lord deserves all glory, praise, and honor, and all of our attention should be on him. Yet, he allows me to draw your gaze away from him and his great sacrifice so that you might hear my story. How rich is his love! His kindness is without measure, and his compassion is never-ending. It fills me anew every morning. Well, this is my story. Abel began. When my parents were removed from the garden, the Lord was merciful and gave them a son. Cain was their firstborn, and I came after. We were raised to love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our strength. It was my heart's delight to bring him my first fruits. For he is the one who always blessed me and made my heart sing. For he had made my heart glad. Now, I kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to give to the Lord. But I brought fat portions. from some of the firstborn of my flock. The Lord looked with favor on my offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain became very angry, and his face was downcast. Now Cain said to me, "Let's go out to the field." And while we were in the field, Cain attacked me and killed me. Today, I stand before the saints in this white robe and the crown of life, because my life became a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to the Lord. Jonathan then watched as Abel knelt before the Lord and took off his crown, laying it at his feet. Then he stood up and said to Jonathan, "My death was sudden and unexpected. Yet I still get to tell my story, even though sin was a constant pressure and oftentimes my close companion. I am only a sinner saved by grace. I am not worthy to wear this crown, yet I do because the Lord desires for me to wear it. Many times I have laid it down at his feet, and he continually picks it up and puts it back on my head. He deserves all glory, praise, and honor. My sacrifice was small compared to my Redeemer's, for I know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that I was redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to me by my Father, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." With that final statement, Abel looked upon his Lord, his eyes shining forth the great joy that was in his heart. Jesus laid his hand on Abel's shoulder and said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Abel's face shined as it reflected the Lord's joy. He smiled at Jonathan and said, "I am sure we will see each other soon, my brother, and I am looking forward to hearing your testimony." Abel walked away with great joy, and Jonathan watched him as he turned the corner down one of the streets and disappeared. The Lord looked at Jonathan with a smile and said, "I have many other people I want you to meet, so that you might hear their testimonies unto death."